New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get two snack wraps plus fries and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
Hello, pals. It's me, D. Trussell. And this is the Dunker Trussell Family Hour podcast. And today, one of my best friends on planet Earth is here with us, Johnny Pemberton. My God. He is brilliant, hilarious comedian. If you happen to be in New York, you can catch him live. Also, he's got a wonderful Twitch channel. It's at Johnny Pemberton. And I'm so proud of the podcast that I've been creating with Johnny. It's called The Leather Rose. It's indescribable, but if you want to see it, check out my YouTube channel. There's going to be a live video of a recent one that we did. It should be up there by the time you listen to this. It's at Duncan Trussell on YouTube. If you want commercial-free episodes of the DTFH, go to patreon.com/DTFH and subscribe. You'll get access to our Discord server, which means you can connect to a family that will eventually be more important to you than your own life. Also, we get together twice a week, just about, for a weekly meditation and a family gathering. I hope that you will subscribe. Now, everybody, please welcome one of the smartest, funniest people living on planet Earth today, the great Johnny Pemberton. Johnny, welcome back to the DTFH. I'm so excited to have you on. I know that a lot of people probably don't know what you've been up to. And it's just crazy to me that you're finally able to talk about the fact that you have shifted careers and are now an executive at Halliburton. How did happen, man? But what about comedy? You're so funny. Why?
They have a huge comedy program inside the executive suites at Halliburton. It's all insulator. It's all insulated. It's all like, it's like being on one of those cruise ships. You know what I mean?
You mean you can still need you do nothing stand you don't.
It? Yeah, there's a whole scene there. There's multiple clubs
in the facility.
Yeah, there's like an underground sort of like a black box 45 seat theater.
45. That's cool.
Yeah,
I guess 45 to work
seat
on beds.
Also a 250 seat sort of a proscenium stage, sort of like Cobb's in San Francisco, and there's a 150 seat kind of like it's more of like a classic mid-sized club you'd see like in the South or something like that. It's great. It's awesome. A lot of cool comics. You know,
wow.
On the scene there.
That's completely not how I pictured the job. I was just trying to picture you like in a suit or whatever, like designing weapons.
You can wear a suit if you want to. They actually on Tuesday nights, it's a 80s night. And it's like you do your hack stuff. It's like a throwback. It's really fun.
But the other thing that I think is a little weird about it. No offense, man. I'm happy whenever anybody...
No offense. Don't say that. I'm not going to get offended.
Okay.
You can't offend me.
I'm happy for you. I love you. I want you to be happy, but...
Right.
I just, when you told me it didn't make sense, I guess now it's kind of making sense, but still, like, what about, you know, you're not only one of the funniest comics I know, you're also a really great actor. Like...
Yeah.
Like... What about that part of your life? Like, is there acting at Halliburton?
Yeah, there's also the Black Box Theater. You can do plays there. There's all kinds of stuff. It's really open to doing whatever you want. It's a real, what they say is you can make of what we have how you will.
How you will?
Yeah, you can make what we have how you will.
You can make what we have how you will. That's their saying?
Mm-hmm. It's a circle. It's in a circle, too. You can make what we have how you will.
Seems like an anagram or something.
I wouldn't think about it too much.
That's no, I'm not going to stop thinking about
don't
it
Don't think
now.
About it too much.
Wait, hold on. You can make... What is it? You can make...
You can make what we have... You can make of what we have how you will.
You can make of what we have how you will.
Yeah.
Hold on.
You can make of what we have how you will. A lot of W's, a lot of Y's.
Hold on. Isn't there the thing like in the Jewish Bible where every word combination...
The Torah?
In the Torah. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Every word combination makes a number, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So what is that called? Different. That's called...
It's called numerology, right?
No, it's called... There's a name for it. It's called... Hasidism? I'm just curious what number that adds up to. What other words that equals... Anyway, look, it doesn't matter. It just seems a little creepy. Something about that just seems really creepy. I mean, also, what about the fact that you're working for a company that, like, is making weapons?
Well, yeah, they make weapons, but they also make great furniture.
Halliburton makes furniture?
That's how they got started, yeah.
No.
Furniture first. That's what they call themselves. It's FF. You'll see a little tiny, tiny FF before everything they do. It says... Tiny FF. Furniture.
So you're
first.
Working in the furniture manufacturing part of the company. You're not working on weapons.
They switch us around all the time. It's a revolving. You know, you're here for a little bit, then you're there for a little bit. You're really all over the place. You're not supposed to specialize because they think that that breeds like a certain type of contention among people who work there. So they want you to just, you know, branch out, meet people.
Is it like a writer's room? Like when you're working on weapons, is it like a writer's room? Do people pitch out weapons or how does that even look? Like what does that look like?
Well, we have a barbecue. It's a constant barbecue. It's been going on for about, I think, 16 years straight.
A 16 years straight barbecue.
Yeah, it's never, hasn't stopped yet. There's always someone there cooking like a burger or steaks, maybe smoking like a suckling pig, something. Maybe just some little old classic 1919 hamburgers, sliders, and a tray of beef tallow. Like, it might just be that. You know,
it's so real, over barbecue, that's where you pitch your weapons ideas?
Yeah, you just hang out. And that's the writer's room. It's just the barbecue. You don't have to eat meat, too. They do all kinds of vegetables.
They have
it's really good.
Vegetarian. Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
But can you share any, like, weapons ideas you've pitched or furniture ideas you've pitched?
No.
Come on.
Well, let's just say, I'll say one thing. You know how they always talk about like people want to stay in their recliner? People don't want to leave a lot of people, once they sit in their recliner, they don't want to get up.
Okay, right. Yeah, sure.
You're not going to have to.
That's so sinister. Like a recliner weapon?
It's not a weapon so much as it is. I mean, what is a weapon?
So wait. You're telling me you combined their furniture with their weapons program. That's
not so much a combination.
Horrible. Like one part of them was great and then the other was atrocious and you went in and like made some hybrid. Like, why don't we bring the two departments together? Now
I didn't
makes
do
sense.
It. I didn't do that.
Okay.
Everything was before me. I'm just a part of the, you know, it's like at what point is a water droplet part of the river, you know? It's kind of like hard to say.
What point is the river making recliner bombs?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question to ask. I'll bring that up at the next team barbecue.
So what do you guys do? You just like parachute recliners onto the battlefield hoping someone like sits in them? Or what is that?
No, that's the furniture department. I mean, everything does everything. Everything's like a full on.
Don't say that. Don't say everything. Everything's
everything?
Nothing is everything.
Well, nothing. Everything is nothing.
No, it's nothing like, is everything.
Well, is black all the colors or none of the colors?
Black
I don't know.
Is.
I think it's. No. It's all the colors, right?
Terry, is black all the colors? No, not anymore.
Hey, Michael, did Terry just ask you? Yeah, why did you tell him that? Michael, you tell Terry that it's blacks all the colors? Sorry about that.
Oh, it is? Oh, yeah. Terry just told me it's all the colors.
Yeah, see, that's what I was saying.
Okay, we got to cut to a commercial. We'll be right back.
Okay.
New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
And we're back. So, Johnny.
Hey, baby.
You know what? I know there's, like, I don't know what you can even talk about, but you're right. In New York right now.
I'm in New York.
I could see behind you the beautiful New York skyline. Are you guys about to get hit by this, like, super snowstorm?
No, I wish we were. I'm so disappointed, man. I was really hoping that we get to, I actually thought about going up to Buffalo somehow, like, just doing a little bit of hitchhiking to get to Buffalo just to
hitchhike
see the snow?
Into the worst snowstorm of all time. Is it? People are saying this is like literally like there's never been anything like this.
It's pretty cool if you think about it. That to me, extreme weather. It rained here the other day, like last week.
Yeah,
and I was stuck. I was outside. I was trying to run an errand. I was so happy. It just felt so good to have a new rain jacket on, and I'm trudging in the wet. Having like the winds hit my face, all the water droplets and stuff. I mean, I think it's still totally a novelty to me. It's so much fun to. That's the thing about weather is nothing you can do about it, right? It's fully and totally. You get to. It's the rare chance you get to just be like, well, I guess I can't go to work, or well, I guess we're not gonna have to do that thing I don't want to do that no one wants to do. That's like I miss that so much.
All that is great until the power goes out.
Yeah, but if you're anticipating that, then you can handle it. I mean, most places have a fireplace. You should have a fireplace, probably.
Not most places have a fireplace.
I guess you're right. Not most places have a fireplace, but yeah,
most places have a marble lion that produces the heat generated.
I'm just thinking about the last apartment I stayed in. It had a little fireplace in it, and it was so cool that it had like a little.
Yes,
it's an old apartment. You know, it's an old.
Yeah,
one. All the new ones. They don't have fireplaces. Yeah, you're fucked if the heat goes out.
You're fucked. And even if you do have a fireplace, you still have to get wood. And then, like, you know, so I do know what you mean where all of a sudden, you know, sometimes the weather will just say fuck you to civilization and be like, no, we're back in 1 AD. We're back in, like, whatever your dumb little civilization. It was cute and 300 everything.
300 years ago, not even now.
Like, we're 300 years ago now. Let's just forget all the whole electricity stuff. I like that you guys did that and everything, but we're just going to just get rid of the electricity thing. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, we're like 3 weeks away from just, you know, going back to the way shit was before this little like bump in history that we call the industrial revolution or the technological revolution.
That's what you would like. You would like it where the snow does everything but kill the power, and I want it to kill the power. I would like to be thrust into
You know what? That's the difference between someone who has kids and someone who doesn't.
Yes, definitely.
Someone who doesn't have kids is like, I don't need this fucking power. You got kids. You're like, man, I need my fucking noise machine. We need baths. We got it. Like, this is serious.
Old bread, a half a jar of peanut butter, and a case of beer.
Yeah.
I got some friends. I got a bunch of rope, some blankets. Oh, my
God. I mean, Johnny.
Books. Got some books. Like,
the other thing, weather, it's like, when you get that reminder of how fragile everything actually is. Like, you think it's so solid. You think it's just like guaranteed internet. Guaranteed. Even if you're in the back of your head, you're like, I know that like sometimes this doesn't work. When that shit happens and you realize like, no, it could just be that the whole technological revolution was like a minuscule phase in human evolution.
I mean, it technically is right now. It's still very much just a tiny, 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 tiny little part of time. Like, it's so small.
But everybody thinks it leads to something more. Like, the general consensus is, like, this will lead to the AI, which will lead to the nanobots, which will lead to some, you know, wild alien future. But, like, within the conversation, very little is said about, everything just stops working.
Yeah, it gets as high as it can get, and then it all of a sudden turns to dust. Maybe that's the whole point of it. It's just to get to you build something so high that it falls over.
Tower of Babel.
Technology. Exactly.
Yeah, the Tower of Babel. It's just the Tower of Babel was really a story about, like, well, actually built into the sector of the universe that you're the sector of the galaxy that planet Earth is, you weren't aware of the laws of Zamanthanex? Well, the laws of Zamanthanex says you can only build an AI to tier 7, and your planet built it to tier 8. So yeah, we're going to do a back switch.
Or tier 8 is the reset. So once you hit tier 8, it doesn't work. It doesn't work in this dimension to be on tier 8.
Yeah.
If you can't figure out how to transcend, if your particular universal, your particular incarnation can't figure out how to transcend to that dimension to accept tier 8, then it just resets and it starts all over again, like one of those robots that tries to solve a maze, like, you know, when it goes down super fast, hits a dead end, goes back up. It's like that kind of shit, and we're just on
with
that robot in the maze, and we hit a dead end if we go to tier 8 at the wrong incarnation.
Yeah, these assumptions, right. The assumptions of that we've already figured out all the laws of the universe. Like, we know, obviously, you don't drop off a cliff. You don't put your hand in fire. But nobody knows, like, oh, you don't fucking build an AI to that level. If you do that, you alert the Phrenicians, and they have to come and like redistrict your planet.
Well, the donkeys show up.
Yeah, just a bunch of donkeys. Just
with
like,
huge dicks. Just big old donkey dicks show up and they just blast you. Their giant donkey dicks come like a wrecking ball.
You are warned. Did you not see Goblia Teki? Did you not see the hieroglyphs were clearly on the pyramids showing not to do that?
What are you fucking talking about? I didn't see anything.
I mean, did you watch Graham Hancock's?
I haven't watched it yet. I got to watch that.
Oh, God, Johnny.
It's great.
You got to watch it. Oh, my God. He is like, this guy is like, just like riveting. He's like, he's Indiana Jones.
He's the real deal.
The real deal. The real deal. And the, like, it's so, the to me, the, like, there's so many creepy things about any of it, right? Regardless of, like, some of the, what is his hypothesis, I won't spoil it, but.
This is about ancient civilizations?
Well, yeah, it's just like there's, you know, he's really good at emphasizing that they knew how to do that. Like, they knew how to build that thing, whatever it is, right. The snake mound, the ziggurat, the whatever. But it wasn't just that they did that. They knew how to precisely align it mm-hmm. with, you know, the summer equinox or with, you know, specific planetary formations.
Stuff is insane. How it's possible.
Right. Like for all of us who like have to have our Google Maps on to get to the grocery mm-hmm. store, like they're like perfectly aligning massive slabs of stone mm-hmm. to sort of line up with the Sirius, you know, like, and then within that, there's all these like mythologies which just get discounted. You're like, okay, whatever the fuck your stupid mythology is, like, great, you got the big rocks to line up with whatever the thing is, and that's great, congratulations, but we're not going to pay attention to your reports of how you learned how to do that. That's bullshit. The stones are real, but the whole thing about the guy from the sea with the fucking info about how to do crops, who says he came from a place that was destroyed by the gods because they were too disobeying the laws of the gods. Shut the fuck up.
It reminds me of the whole idea. Remember in math class when you were like in fourth or fifth grade or whatever, when the whole thing was you have to show your work. You can't just get the answer. You have to show your work because you have to show how you got there. And if you deny all this stuff, if you deny all the mythology, but you're just looking at the results of it, you're basically acting like they just used a calculator. Well, they didn't use a calculator at all. They did this all longhand somehow. Yeah. And that's the work is, well, we listened to this this cloud formation and we noticed all these very subtle things and we decided to build on them. And maybe, yeah, there's no way to know, obviously, to what extent is an intervention and what is observation. But that's like, yeah, denying all the mythology of it is just completely denying the journey, which is the most interesting part of it. Like the fact you did it is great, but how you got there, that's always the coolest thing.
I mean, it's when like, and he's so good at like pointing that part of like archaeology out where it's like, here you have... You know, what's crazy is, like, I can't remember the name of, like, the particular pyramid, this massive pyramid. And then they realize from doing, like, scans, oh, actually, there's another pyramid inside that pyramid. Mm-hmm. Well, they Russian-dolled pyramid. So it's not just this one massive pyramid. They built a pyramid around that pyramid and a pyramid around that pyramid and a pyramid around that pyramid till inside there's a kind of smaller pyramid that connects to natural springs. So you age date the oldest part of the thing and you get a certain time when the pyramid was built. But when you start going underneath and age dating it, all of a sudden it keeps going further and further and further back. And that's where he's controversial is because archaeologists are like, no. The people weren't doing it. It was the Stone Age. No one was like capable of doing any of this shit back then. And it's like, okay, well then what about the fact that this is...
How did they do it? Because they did it.
They did it. Not only did they did it, they aligned it with Sirius. And then, mm-hmm. but it's like, you know, but let's not take any of like what they carved on these rocks seriously. Even that's the other crazy thing is that around the planet, like various civilizations that never made contact with each other.
Doing the same thing simultaneously?
Yes. And versions of the same story. A guy showed up with a beard. He said he came from this place. He taught us how to do this stuff. It's just crazy. It's so mind blowing to like think about
the coincidence. That. It's too much coincidence. It's too high of a coincidence to not be. It can't be coincidental. I mean, it could be, but the more it is, the less likely it is.
Right? I mean,
the odds of it.
I guess like you could argue that. I remember in psychology class, Carl Jung, we're studying Carl Jung, the famous psychotherapist, and mm-hmm. he, I think, worked in a mental hospital where a schizophrenic started, like, yammering about, like, how the sun has a dick and the dick touches the earth. Like, you know, stuff that like normal people, if you heard, you know, anyone screaming that out, you would, you know, you might be a little turned
across
on.
Across the street.
Yeah, but you would just be like, all right, whatever. But Jung had this like library of like all these like anthropological studies of various like indigenous cultures. And he remembered like this guy was like articulating specifically the cosmology of this one rare group of like, I don't know, almost an uncontacted tribe mm-hmm. from wherever. And so and so that's, so Jung started coming up with this idea of the collective unconscious, the idea that we have our subjective dreams, but there's the dream of humanity, and that maybe that there's a guy in mind or something. So maybe from his perspective, the reason that, you know, all the, these various civilizations that never met each other have similar mythologies is because, well, it's the collective showing up regardless of like literal contact with one another. I guess if you wanted to come up with a really shitty argument for why, and you also in the midst of that want to discount what every single one of these, can you imagine, like, you somehow with your people managed to build a pyramid that to this day we don't know how they fucking built it,
right?
You paint it, you carve inside the pyramid, well, here's how we built it. You see, this guy came, they had new magic, they taught us how to do this
stuff.
Well, they
had new magic.
Yeah.
It's new magic.
They knew how to do magic.
They knew
how to connect
to some fresh magic.
To them it was new magic. So you like mm-hmm. you're specific. You're like, you draw the picture of the fucking UFO with it came out of the sky, they came from Sirius. They told us to align the thing with their civilization so we could receive signals from them. And you show it on there. And then modern people are like, yeah, the pyramid's fucking impressive, but whatever. Who cares what they had to say about how they did it? You're just like, fuck their stupid story. That's not real. That couldn't have happened. That would be very frustrating, probably, if you realize like modern people would just be like, whatever, the pyramid's cool, I guess. I don't really care, but who cares?
It's so frustrating. Maybe it tells the magic givers that we're not really worth or not really worth sending any new magic to, because it's like if you're not grateful or interested in something, it gives someone a message like, why would you want to give someone something if they just don't want it whatsoever? Maybe that's
right.
Maybe that's a thing that's happening.
Right. Could they were be. Just like, don't go back there. They're assholes. They just don't give a fuck about like any kind of cool, like, especially if you're just some pyramid fetishist alien civilization. They just don't like pyramids. Why didn't they keep building pyramids? Oh my God. What's that skyscraper? We told them to make pyramids. Fuck them.
I mean, the collective unconscious thing makes, to me, that always has made so much sense. It can't not be true, because nothing else could possibly explain those things than something like that. And everyone's experienced something that hints at the idea of a collective unconsciousness. Everyone, even the most like jaded people, had a thing. I mean, you call it like, oh, it was a coincidence. What a coincidence.
Right.
But how is it? There's so many coincidences that happen that you have to, it has to mean something more than just randomness.
Yeah,
it's too like a constant and accurate for it to be just nothing.
It seems like something a very sophisticated joke thief in comedy would be like, look, man, I just tuned into the collective unconscious. I didn't, was I at your show? Did I see you do that exact joke? Mm-hmm. Maybe. But I don't remember. But what happened was it's the collective. It's not even.
I just got
anyway.
A collective. Did you read that book I told you about? The one, Big Magic by Elizabeth. What's her last name? I forget.
I started listening to it, but I didn't. I didn't get further along the way. But I did get the audible.
The first little part is not the best, but it starts to get kind of pretty cool when she talks about ideas and stuff, and like this whole idea of like a muse. It's very similar to that because she talks about how she thinks, a lot of people think, that if you get an idea and you don't action with it, the idea will go to someone else.
Right. Yeah. I liked that part of it. Mm-hmm. Like if you're like the muse is just looking like for a printer that works. And if your printer's jammed up, the muse will just go to another printer.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of, all the stuff she says in there is very, very on point with that idea of things just being like some sort of a back end, like a back end to everything, like the other side. I always think about that whole idea how they just recently discovered about how just the existence, the definite existence of dark matter and how it's the majority of the matter. Like it's slightly the majority of the matter is dark matter, and how that is, that's such a, I mean, the fact that that is known is so incredibly, I don't want to say deep, but it just, it means so much that there's most of what is out there. We don't even know how to look at it. We have no idea how to access it. It is completely and totally unavailable except for like the tiniest fragment of time that we're able to measure inside a fucking tube under the ground in Switzerland. Otherwise, it just doesn't exist. We have no knowledge of it. And if that's the case, think about how much is just not even visible in the visible light spectrum. That's like a tiny, 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 tiny fragment of our awareness as humans. So there's got to be just fucking an unfathomable amount of
it's unfathomable
something of a thing that is able to travel or transmit or communicate or something like that. Like there's no way to possibly understand it.
What do you think it is?
I mean, that's what I have no idea. I think it's probably
the dice. We're in Vegas. It's like, okay, what's dark matter? What aren't we seeing?
I think it's dimensional. It's got to be dimensional. It's like the thing where, you know, if you've seen like someone try to explain like a ziggurat. That's the fourth dimension, fourth dimensional square.
You mean a tesseract?
Yeah, tesseract, not a zig. What is a ziggurat? That's a shape.
Pyramid.
Ziggurat's a pyramid.
A tesseract.
The tesseract. Yeah. I've almost can kind of understand it, but I really can't. Like I tried many, many times, watched a bunch of different videos explaining how it works in dimensional space, but it never quite makes sense to me. And honestly, I wonder.
You know, this is in a wrinkle in time. Let's see, tesseract. Let's look it up. Here we go. In geometry, a tesseract is the four-dimensional analog of the cube. The tesseract is to the cube as the cube is to the square. Mm-hmm. Okay, right. So it's like, you know, in the way that like a square is two-dimensional, then the cube goes into third dimension. That just as the surface of the cube consists of six square faces, the hypersurface, they always have to say hyper, the hypersurface of the tesseract consists of eight cubical cells. Oh, see, I knew this part about it. My son was just telling me this. The tesseract is one of the six convex regular four polytopes. We got in a little bit of an argument because I'm like, no, it isn't. Isn't it five polytopes? But he's like, Dad, it's four. Come on. The tesseract is
all kids know that now. All the kids know this shit. I don't get it.
It's so weird. Yeah, because I mean, I don't want to get in the Mandela effect thing, but like for sure, I'm like almost 100% certain that when I was growing up, the tesseract was one of the four convex regular three polytopes.
But when I used to show my dad a cube, he would scream.
Oh, yeah. He would scream.
I got kicked out of the house for 2 weeks. I had to go live with my uncle for 2 weeks because I showed my dad a cube.
Jesus, like, dude.
That's not – what is that crap?
Well, I mean, a lot of dads, you know, when we were coming up, did not want to see a cube. Why did you do that? I would never show my dad a cube.
I didn't know any better, you know? He wasn't around enough to tell me that cubes don't exist. And then to me, I'm thinking, I can visualize a cube, no problem. I used to love wrapping presents. I loved wrapping presents because I was so good at visualizing the cube. And then he gets pissed because he's just – all those old timers, that generation, man. Just – they're so square.
They're so square. Man. Mm-hmm. I remember like I was walking in the house. I had found this like incredible obsidian cube. And inside one of the animals I was dissecting, I was bringing it in to show it to my dad. And my mom stopped me. Ooh. And was like, you will not bring that cube into my house. You will not show that cube to your father. I mean, I just felt ashamed and started crying. She made me bury the cube in the yard.
Well, at least you knew how to bury it. At least mom saw it, because that's how I think it's going with this new generation, is they can visualize the tesseract, no problem. And people like us, we just don't have it. It's just not in us. And so we reject it. We find other things to involve ourselves with. We just keep going back to cubes, you know, mid-century modern design. I know, but
it's like, I get it. It's like, you know, it's like if I had spent more time with that cube, then I definitely wouldn't have like had a chance to like understand rectangles. I think rectangles back then, you know, were sort of like, yeah, are they exciting like a cube? Nah. You know, is the shape as like satisfying as a cube?
No.
Nah, but, you know, I think learning to appreciate rectangles, even this in the age of the Tesseract, is still, you know, it's good. It's, I think there's something traditional about it, you know?
About a Tess? About a Tessie?
No, about a rectangle.
Oh, yeah. A rhombus.
Even a rhombus. Like, some of these classic shapes. You know, we will not, like, honestly, like, they recommend not even, like, to this day, like, don't introduce your kids to cubes until they're like six, until their brains
really
develop.
Okay. Yeah. That's funny because there's six sides to a cube. Is that why, or is that a coincidence? Ooh.
Our pediatrician said it has something to do with that, but then like when I started asking her, she was a kind of a bitch. She was just like, what, are we on your fucking podcast?
What is she? She's Gen Z, isn't she?
Yeah
She didn't want
to hear
Gen Z.
It's like, I thought you were why are you cursing? Like this thing where doctors have started cursing. Have you noticed this? What the fuck is that?
Yeah, I have a new Gen Z doctor, and he curses all the time. He's like, "Hey, Mr. Pemberton, you know, we got some fucking crazy shit going on here in your small intestine." I'm like, "Hello, doctor." And he's also wearing Yeezys, and he had like sport pants on, and we did the whole thing standing up.
I hate that.
Outside too, he met me on the street.
I hate that. My proctologist, Jesus Christ, man, he's so vulgar. It's like you're so vulnerable, and he's just like, look at this fucking ass. Look at your fucking ass. He like spanked my ass.
My my GI doctor took a guitar lesson the entire time he saw me.
What the fuck is happening?
Yeah, he was taking an online guitar lesson.
Doctor? It's awful.
It was a long appointment, but, you know, he's a great doctor. Just was kind of hard to tell what he was – when he was talking to me, when he was talking to the guitar teacher.
Dude, my dermatologist was playing Dungeons and Dragons the whole time.
Really?
Yeah. With
online
my proctologist who, like, happened to be there.
Oh.
The proctologist was there. My pediatrician was there. They were all, like – it was really fucked up because, I had something I wanted him to look at on my skin, and he was like –
What is it? You want to tell me about it?
It's just a weird tattoo that I don't remember getting.
Oh, okay. That's what they call it, shadow tat.
Yeah, it was a shadow tat, thank God. Mm-hmm. I thought like I blacked out or something. But yeah, I guess a lot of people are getting that
I heard
thing.
That might be like some form of like communication because I guess we're so busy with the noises of our devices and everything in this rat race we live in that they're thinking that maybe other worlds are trying to reach out by tattooing.
Mine was Target.
People.
It's a QR code that went to Target.com.
Oh, was it for an item or just the store, like the website?
Just the website.
Weird. Did it have a discount code?
Yeah.
Oh, how much did you get off?
It's for Starbucks or something. It's like not even that great. It's like it's like one of those shitty coupons. I mean,
there's
it's
a guy I'm working with who got 20% off, but only if you spend $300.
Yeah, but I don't – I mean, you know, like I had my people reach out to Target. Mm-hmm. Like are you guys sending out – like have you figured out a way to QR code these shadow tats onto people? And they were like completely like no response, just wouldn't respond. Like who else would be doing this?
Man, I don't know. I mean that's the thing you got to ask is who's doing this stuff. It's just there's no way to know. At least we're not going to know. Maybe the kids will know. Maybe these Tesseract kids will figure it out because it's definitely something that my little brain doesn't get it because I'm just still trying to figure out. I have trouble trying to get Siri to work, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I can't get my remote control to do shit anymore.
I was laughed at. Do you know why I was laughed at?
Why?
For real. Brent laughed at me because I said, "Hey Siri."
What?
You don't have to say, "Hey Siri." Do you know that?
Yeah, you do.
No, you don't. Actually,
you say, "Hey Siri," or it doesn't come on.
You can make it come on without doing that, I guess.
What do you say?
I can't even remember. I think he just like pushed the button. He just or some crap. You just push like the you push like the thing that says voice.
Hey Siri. And did you hear it? It goes, somewhere my phone went, it scared the shit out of me.
It works, but you don't have to do that. You're wasting your breath. And that's the thing. The new generation, the younger kids, they know. They know you don't have to waste your breath.
Nothing.
You got to say hey though, right?
What's creepy to me is I didn't know my phone was over there. I still don't think it is.
You don't think so?
No. It's creepy. We're going to cut to commercial. We'll be right back.
Bye.
New year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get two snack wraps plus fries and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
And we're back. Here's the thing.
Hey, Duncan.
Hi, Johnny. We're back. We've been talking about a lot of things. Tesseracts, cubes,
right.
Siri, Shadow Tats, Halliburton. But, you know, to get back to the Graham Hancock stuff,
right.
It's like summoning demons, right? Like, there's a way, apparently, you can, like, summon entities or, like, make contact with, like, entities using bizarre methods or methods we would consider to be bizarre.
Right.
But, you know, there's this potential in just the way our technology is going that the phone itself
is the demon summoner.
It goes away. So,
what
so
goes
it's
away?
Like the phone. The phone goes
away.
Oh,
definitely, right? I mean, isn't that the whole idea?
So that really it's more like the Wi-Fi itself mm-hmm. becomes the technology. Like the Wi-Fi with somehow within the Wi-Fi is the code. So in other words, like you don't need the phone anymore. You just say like manifest phone, and then the Wi-Fi itself configures itself into some kind of phantasmal AR style phone, and then you can like call your friends. So you know, is that what all these ancient technology? It's just like no, they figured out how to no longer need material things to achieve technological results. They figured out a way to sort of pluck energy temporarily out into some more condensed form and then vanish it again. And we don't know how to do that yet, but all these demon summoning rituals, all the magical shit, it's really just like, hey Siri, but in Sumerian, you know, the prayers and all
right,
that.
It's like just an hey ancient Siri. Version of it.
I can't translate into Sumerian.
Oh my God, she's been listening the entire time. Did she just say she can't translate to Sumerian? I bet she can't. She does not want to acknowledge Sumerian.
She said, I can't translate into Sumerian yet.
Oh, my
Eventually,
God.
Eventually, Siri's going to be able to translate into Sumerian.
I hope not. Who needs that?
Fuck! God damn it, if only I knew what this fucking goddamn wall carving meant. Siri, can you analyze this? I think it's Sumerian.
You can already do that stuff where you can show your phone just any language and it can translate it real time. That shit's insane that it can happen.
And
all this, all the translating stuff, it's only going to get better faster. I always think that our generation or kind of people around our age, like what a crazy amount of technology to have to, because I remember rotary phones really well. I remember using them. Remember like all kinds of stuff that's nowadays is, you know, as time goes on, it becomes more and more remote and more of a thing of the past. And you feel like, oh God, that's so old. It's such like ancient stuff compared to what we have now.
Man, I was showing Forrest, I don't know what it was, something in black and white. And he goes, right. Why is she gray? And like, you know, I'd explain to him, there was a time when there was no such thing as color film. Like stuff was black. He didn't, you know, like, but to him, it was just like, that lady, Jesus, what the fuck? She's gray. What a weird looking person that is.
It's like, really strange.
Yes.
Like the amount of technological change that we have to deal with. And it's amazing that we're even alive, you know? It's amazing that like we can even hang out and we don't like lose our minds or have breakdowns all the time. I mean, I suppose that happens a lot to people, but it's just kind of incredible. I think let's say we each live another 30 years, right? That's a pretty conservative estimate. I think we'll be around that long. It's just going to be significant. I mean, God knows. Maybe we won't be able to handle it. Maybe it'll be a point where it'll be like, oh, your firmware just can't handle this new upload. Like if you had an old computer right now, like an Apple IIe, you can't run anything on that. You just can't. It doesn't have the capacity to do it.
Well, you'll upgrade.
Yeah. But also at the same time, the human brain is just spectacular. It's such a spectacular computer. We haven't even come close to realizing just how much you can do. Like the way it can compute stuff is insane. It's amazing.
Well, now somebody just tweeted this like research paper where they figured out how to use an AI to like look at memories. Like they're able to which is going to be like,
what do you mean look at memories? Like looking at
Let
brain?
Me see if I can find the actual article here.
Isn't
real quick.
This basically, this is essentially, Minority Report in a way, isn't it? It's
yes.
Similar to that.
Kind of. I mean, I think that was for future crimes.
Yeah. I mean, there's tons of movies about this, essentially. Tons of sci-fi ideas about the idea of being able to read people's memories and stuff. God, it's so fucking spooky and cool to think about.
Hold on 1 second. I will find it right now. This, and you know, more than likely, like it's one of those things actually I may have done the classic where you're like, holy shit, it could do that. And then didn't read the paper where whatever the exciting thing is that you thought it could do, it's actually not that at all. Here it is. Let me see here. See if I'm reading this wrong. A system to decode visual stimuli from brain recordings. So... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a way to, and it's showing like, so I think this is more along the lines of like the, it can take what you're, it's not your memory, so I fucked that up. It's, you could take what you're looking at.
Yeah, okay, I saw that. It can tell what you're looking at. It can look at your brain waves and it can tell what you're looking at. Like it has someone looking at a fire truck and the computer draws something that looks kind of
like a fire truck.
Like a 5 year old drew a fire truck with like, a really thick pen.
Yeah, it's taking your visual stimulus, and it seems like it's doing the text to art.
Right. Yeah, AI I saw this. It's incredible. And that's now. This is early stages. Ugh. Anytime I see something like that, I think, well, it's already over. You know what I mean?
Here, I found the paper.
How many more steps does it take for it to be endgame?
Seeing beyond the brain, conditioning diffusion model with sparse mass modeling for vision decoding, submitted to anonymous conference by Zizhao Chen, Jiaxin Queen, Tiange Zhang, Wanlin Yu, and Daryl Williams. Decoding visual stimuli from brain recording. Decoding visual stimuli from brain recordings. Like, okay, all of a sudden we have brain recordings. Aims to deepen our understanding of the human visual system and build a solid foundation for bridging human vision and computer vision through the brain-computer interface. However, due to the scarcity of data annotations and the complexity of underlying brain information, it is challenging to decoding images with faithful details and meaningful semantics.
Well, yeah, it's challenging. It's challenging now, right? It's challenging.
It is challenging to pluck thoughts out of your mind.
Oh, we haven't figured it out yet. Yeah, I think we're a long way away. It's going to take a long time. Yeah. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think we can do it. It's too hard.
I'm going to go back to the office now. Hey, I just did it. Hold on. It took me 10 minutes. In this work, we present MEN-DVIS sparse mass brain modeling with double conditioned diffusion model for vision decoding, specifically by boosting the information capacity of representations learned in large-scale resting state MRI dataset. We show that our MEN-DVIS framework reconstructed highly plausible images with semantically matching details from brain recordings with very few training pairs. We benchmarked our model, and our method outperformed state of the arts in both semantic mapping and generation quality by 66%. So I guess they took a bunch of people who were looking at something in an MRI machine.
Yeah, they looked at an image. They were able to tell what they're looking at by reading their fucking brain waves. They could tell they're looking at by, I mean, it's essentially, it's like ESP in a way, right? It's like technically.
It's ESP.
It's ESP with a giant, I don't know, $500,000 magnet in a basement of a hospital.
It's ESP. The implications are so fucking nuts, which is like, okay, so we know that through this like highly sensitive machine, they can like record energy in the human brain through the skull. We can do this. We can now see what someone's seeing. What that means is, okay, what's next? Like, all right, sold. Clearly, this is something the military is going to use. So it's like, it's some kind of brain wave detector the soldier wears, which then sends information from their visual cortex to people who are watching, so that it turns every soldier into a camera. So you could see what the soldiers are seeing, precisely what they're seeing. So that's the net is definitely going to be the next step.
I think that, but I think even more so, I mean, everything is military applications are always obvious to me. It seems more and more.
Yeah, you work at fucking Halliburton. So probably,
right. But I think it's also, it's all that stuff is marketing. It's the kind of thing where, like, imagine if you gave, any huge advertising company just a piece of that technology. I was watching TV there at night. I was watching Thursday Night Football last night, and there's commercials on Amazon Prime. And I was thinking about the commercials, just how good every commercial you see, there's been so much thought put into it. There's one commercial where they're playing. It's a commercial for Amazon's data analytics, right? And they're playing a song. I can't remember what song it was. It was some like song that I remember hearing a lot when I was in high school, like a Biggie song, like a big hit. They're playing a song, and you know that they're doing that because when you hear that song, it makes you think about a time in your life when you felt very virile, like a badass. You were young enough to be dumb enough about stuff, but old enough to be very smart and feel yourself. And so you show all this slick commercial with all the data analytic software that it's you can plug into any kind of company you have, any kind of if you're selling anything, no matter what, you can use their logistics software because they have such an extreme amount of data points that you can plug it into your stuff. You're watching that, and you hear that song, and it goes into your brain and gives you a sense memory, which is the most powerful connotation you can have, is feeling like a time in your life that is gone, that was so simple and like very, very primitive. And you compare that with this super boring, stupid data analytical software, and instantly it just becomes like, oh yeah, we got to get that for my business, for my fucking shipping company. Because it just, I mean, I'm aware of that, basically just barely aware of it. Imagine viewing that, even though I am aware of it, it still has like an effect on me. I still kind of feel like, man, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I feel it.
Right.
And that's just a tiny little thing. That's because these fucking geniuses know, they know that song is going to give people kind of goosebumps and make them feel like they've had two Bud Lights with their boys, you know? It's like a thing.
They're like, okay, here's how do we lube them up? How do we get them to lube? Like, how do we lube them into the emotional state we need them to sell them this fucking bullshit? All right. Well, okay, let's do. Do you have any of that MRI data that we did last week, Daryl?
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, how do their brains react to that song? Okay. Don't use that. Okay. That created a uptick in the GABA receptors and some serotonin. Okay. That produced the most serotonin. All right. Yeah. We'll do that song and then we'll advertise like the new Chevy, and that's like it's brain hacking. I mean, they're brains.
Genius hackers. Love it or hate it. Is it good or bad? I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's bad really as much as anything is bad. I guess it's kind of nefarious in a way, but it's just this thing that's
bad.
I mean, it's so big. It drives everything.
It's consensual bad, though. We're going to get right back to that. Now I'm going to cut to commercial.
New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
And we're back. Consensual bad. What do they say in vampire mythology? A vampire only goes where they're invited. Exactly. Every time you turn the fucking TV on, you invite the vampire into your fucking house. And
it's seductive.
Whatever happens after that is your fault. You turn on the fucking TV. And I'm sure that's what the companies think. It's like, look, what do you think this was? What do you think is paying for?
Like, those football players make a lot of money because they're really, really good at doing their job. It's super fun to watch. A good football game is so entertaining, to me at least, because I'm like the number one new football fan. I love it. It's so entertaining. So, of course, these commercials they have playing during that, they make them like they have to pay for that entertainment somehow. And they do it by making these commercials that are just – they're so fucking good at picking your brain and making you want the thing.
And see, here's the thing with like what to me is like remarkable is that many people are not aware of how much money has gone into any given like commercial that you're watching on TV. People oh, yeah. aren't aware of like the research, the into like every last detail, and they're not aware of how much research is currently being put in, like this technology that can transform visual stimuli into an AI representation, and what it, where that they're like, you see that now, like whatever, I've got other shit to worry about than that. But really, all we're talking about is like, wait, you don't understand. This means that right now, you probably don't have anything to worry about unless you live inside an MRI machine mm-hmm. connected to some database in China right now. But the more sensitive our ability to like measure energy gets, the less necessary the MRI machine becomes, right? Like yeah. now it's like, shit, you know, what if you could use 5G? What if like the, you know, some newer version of 5G, which is definitely going through your body, figures out a way to like actually, as it goes through your body, to analyze energetic patterns. And then from that, put together like, oh, that's what they were thinking. Then, and so, and now instead of like, is your, what it's already doing, which is like listening to us. Hey, Siri, oh, are yeah. you listening?
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. No problem.
You know that famous story about Robert De Niro? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, the point is, like, what happens when the shit sweeps through your mind and just collects thoughts and uploads them to some repository somewhere? Mm-hmm. Suddenly, the nightmare of any, like, paranoid schizophrenic worth their salt becomes absolutely true. Your thoughts are being read by unknown forces so that you can be manipulated more success mm-hmm. with like more powerfully than before. Jason That's Bourne. Coming. Did you say yeah, Jason I mean, Bourne?
Well, because Jason Bourne was manipulated by the government to be a killing machine.
Yeah.
Have you watched those movies?
Of course. I love them.
Oh, God. They're so good.
They're so fucking good.
All that stuff right now with China, like all the surveillance apparatus they have is incredible.
Right.
And it's only getting bigger and bigger every day. It's got to go somewhere. It's not going to stay there. It's going to bleed over. It has to.
Well, yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah. We're just becoming slowly more and more, what's the word? When you make someone get accustomed to the thing being around, you know, like you, like if there was a gun, if I brought a gun into your house, you freaked out. But if I like, you know, if I just hit it somewhere, we kind of didn't really see it. This is a terrible analogy I'm trying to think about, but just the idea of slowly you slip it in over time.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of these companies and people, they understand that some generations you have to wait till the next generation. You got to start them with it. So it was always around. If something was around when you were growing up, you don't think anything of it at all. But right. So we get weirded out by stuff because, hey, that wasn't around when I was a kid. Like every kid I see in Brooklyn has a helmet on. Every kid. I think about, I didn't know wear a helmet when I was growing up. Like I did when I started mountain biking, just because I was scared I was going to fall off my bike and run into a tree. But I was riding my bike around normal. I didn't wear a helmet.
No fucking helmet.
Yeah. But now all these kids wear helmets. And it kind of, in a way, I see both sides. It's like, well, yeah, if I had a kid, I'd want to protect its skull. But at the same time, you also kind of think that, well, maybe they got to hurt it a little bit so they know how to physically protect themselves when they don't have a helmet on. But it's that thing where you're like, I think that, but older generations, younger people will not think that because, oh, we just always, it was always around. So it's not weird that it's there. It's weird wearing a helmet. It's not weird at all because everyone wears a helmet all the time because it's available to us. It's technology. And that's like the dumbest example ever. But if something's always Yoga around mats. When you grow up, you don't think about it at all. It's like the Social Security number. That's a thing that you and I don't think much about it at all. But our grandparents were weirded out as hell by that shit. They're like, what? A number? No. You promise us we never have to have a number associated with us at all. That's like part of being an American. Machines? You do not have to have a number attached to you.
Number to identify me?
Yeah, now we think nothing of it.
Driver's like all licenses. This stuff,
driver's licenses. There's so many things now we don't think anything. I mean, people do think of it, but at the same time, if you are aware of it and push back against it, I mean, what are you going to do? Just fucking Owen Benjamin yourself or something? I don't know.
Right. TSA.
Yeah.
TSA. There was a time when you could just walk into an airport. You could just walk all the way to where the planes are taking off. When you got off the plane, you're fucking like when you were a kid, your parents were right there at the terminal to get you.
You could talk your way through stuff. You'd be like, hey, I'm sorry, man. My keys are right. You know, you could do stuff like that. You could
go ahead, get on the fucking plane. Can you, but hey, no, look, no anacondas. You can't bring, all right, go ahead with the anaconda. You can just make sure it goes into.
You remind me of my nephew.
Get in there with that snake. I mean, you get on the plane. Do you got any room in the smoking section? Yeah, sure, go ahead. They had a smoking section on a fucking plane. You could just fucking puff away up there.
This is the best. It's something like this. Well, we're not supposed to do this, but okay, just come on out. Come in. Just don't tell them I did this.
Yeah.
Could you imagine someone low-handing you anything now? Being like just being your friend and actually doing something for you that's off the record?
No.
Like, it's crazy. Like,
no.
That stuff used to happen all the time, everywhere. Everything was off the record. Everything was cash. Everything was handshake. Now nothing is that way at all. The past 2 months or so, I've been to a bunch of businesses that did not accept cash. And I was with my friend. My friend's wife was right behind me. I was at this bar in Highland Park for someone's birthday. And I was thinking, man, you know, the conspiracy theorist in me is like, I don't like that. And she, before I could say anything, she said, oh, that's classist. And I was funny because I was thinking about it from the one side of it as it being something where, like, they're trying to control us. And she's thinking about it from the I don't want to say social justice, but sort of that end of things. How like, oh, this is to keep people out who are poor, and it's both things. You know what I mean? It's this crazy thing where it's both.
Wait, you mean like no cash is classes?
Yeah, no cash is classes because it prevents people people who are more impoverished tend to trade in cash because they don't have the ability to access a credit card.
Your friend's smart. I'm so dense. I never once thought to myself, my God, how many people are like, oh, fuck, I can't get a credit card. Shit. Yeah. Jesus Christ. That's so creepy.
But it's the kind of thing where it's going to keep happening so much that we're going to be the grandparents being like, what do you mean you don't take cash? What? Like having a public freakout moment at some normal store that just says, I'm sorry, we just don't take cash anymore. And we're going to be look like weirdos. Like, look at that old weird guy. He's freaking out.
No, it's going to be like, what do you mean I can only come in here if my pheromone levels are at 7B or below?
Well, that's the end game. Right now, it's just cash or credit. How there's no cash, but it's going to escalate to where it's, what do you mean my temperature's too high?
Well, what do you mean my brain scan matches someone who shoplifts? I would never shoplift.
Yes, exactly. Something like that. It's just, I mean, you can't explain your way out of it.
Yeah.
What can you can't, I mean, sometimes, but that's the thing. Maybe you can. Maybe eventually this kind of stuff, because it does rely on a group of people to sort of hold the scanning wand, maybe, to be the sort of enforcer cop, like an Idiocracy, right? There's always the people, there's the fucking idiot cops in Idiocracy who are, this particular individual was found in violation of penal code, you know, it's all just computerized. You can't push up against it at all. But maybe there'll be people who, because every once in a while you'll talk to someone. I mean, it's even like that, like some of the, like the AT&T call we did forever ago. We talked to that person. We did break through and talk to a human who was able to back channel some of the automatic things. But
yeah,
like that wouldn't even happen now. If we did that now, we would not be able to have that experience.
You could not breach the fortress that is AT&T anymore. And if you did, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, if even if you're not even going to be talking to a person, first of all, you're going to be like mid conversation, like, hold on, are you an AI?
And no, it's going to be not like, know.
Yeah, I'm an AI, but what's the big deal? I'm really, I actually am more equipped than a person to help you. Is that a problem that I'm an AI? If you want to wait 15 minutes, I can put you on with a human that's not going to have as much access as I do. But yeah, sure. I don't mind.
I've got other calls coming in.
What are your pheromone levels at? Have you done a pheromone level detection scan? If your pheromone levels drop down because you're really angry right now, when it goes to green, I'll get you to a human. As long as it's purple, you're going to have to talk to me because you're angry right now and you could verbally assault a person. I don't give a fuck what you say to me.
What do you think about that, though? Do you think that, like, because part of me thinks that AI and all the computer stuff is we have to treat them like they're human because they're products of humans. And so to be like, I've been trying now to be nice to machines when possible. Because I feel like if you're disrespectful to something, like if my computer has a problem and I get angry, like that's ridiculous. Like I make mistakes constantly, all the time.
And yeah, I think that you should just generally practice non-aggression.
Right.
And actually practicing non-aggression on inanimate objects, as ridiculous as that may seem, it's training you so that when you're around a person, you won't be so aggressive. Like,
yeah.
You know, I like the way I talk to Siri is terrible. You know, it's like I shouldn't, like, it shows my own hierarchy of like assessing things according to this or that. It's like, why not just be universally compassionate,
right,
instead of screaming at certain things and not screaming at other things? You know, do you need to be compassionate to an inanimate object because it's gonna like get revenge? Obviously not. But, you know, yeah, you should probably like always make an exercise of being a little more gentle with the things around you. I would guess. I mean, I know there are many people who make like electronic music or digital art who are like, this thing is alive. It's a collaboration that's happening here. It's not a one-way street. And if you're coming at your machine with some kind of dark energy, it's going to reflect that back through whatever you make. So come in sweet and you'll make something sweet.
Yeah. And also it just feels good too. It feels good to be really kind to things. I think it feels better.
That's cool.
Because I was thinking about how people who get, if you get really angry at someone, let's say someone fucks up your order and you get really angry at them and you just really fucking give it to them, you're angry at them, how I suppose that kind of feels good in a way, because you wouldn't do that unless it felt sort of good. But I think it feels good because you are having, you've got so much turmoil in your mind and your brain. Like you've got like things in your past that you haven't dealt with that are, they're affecting you. They affect you all the time, but you're unaware of them to the extent where you think you have moved beyond them. I always think of, like, I don't know, Scrooge, right? Scrooge from A Christmas Carol is like the most perfect example. He's an asshole, and he gets off on pinching a penny and saving money by having no heat, paying as little as possible, getting the deal. It makes him feel good when he gets those little wins everywhere, because he's got so much pain. He's living with so much pain that that's the only thing that makes him feel better is getting over on someone just a little bit every day, getting that fucking thing. But if he were to, like he does in the end, spoiler alert, like a spoiler in the Christmas
story. Wait, I don't know how a Christmas story ends. Wait, stop. I'm halfway through the book.
That's the best idea ever. Someone doesn't know the story of Scrooge.
Don't ruin it, please. He dies right at the end. I'm assuming he gets like murdered or like gets his head chopped.
Bob Cratchit takes a fire poker and beats him to death on Christmas Eve and steals all of his money and steals his identity and goes on to live as him for the next. Well, Tiny Tim was actually faking the injury the entire time.
Thank God. That makes me feel better. I felt so sorry for the kid. It was insurance fraud.
Exactly. That little fucker. He's trying to steal from Aetna.
I think it's like you at some point have to play around with the idea that you don't need to like adjust the external universe to be happy. And then if that's true, that means that because I think a lot of times when people are you know, like corrective drivers, it's like somebody pulls out in front of you and you're like, I'm getting revenge.
Oh yeah. You
try to get ahead of them and pull out in front of them. But like the rationalization for your aggression is usually like, you might think I'm going to teach them never to do that again. So in some awful way, you've assigned yourself as some like road teacher
road teacher.
It's
that is
like
the worst thing ever. The idea of a road teacher.
Teaching lessons on the highway,
oh
baby.
God.
You don't cut off a person and then slow down, or someone will cut you off and slow down. And then you
road
become a
teacher.
Road teacher. And you're like, and so you're trying to rationalize your raw aggression with like, mm-hmm. you're turning into some great benefactor for a future person who you've prevented that person from cutting off in traffic or whatever. And
yeah.
it's stupid.
It's so dumb.
It's ineffective.
And we've all done it though, too. I've done it. I've definitely done it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. You want to show them like, no, you don't get one over on
Oh,
me.
You don't do that to me
you
in my car. You might do that
Not
to someone
me.
Else in a Nissan Sentra, but the car I'm driving, you don't do that to this car.
Not me.
Oh, no.
You know, and
you
like,
do not cut off this car.
Meanwhile, you get like, I remember one, if you have a kid with allergies, sometimes you got to get to the hospital. And
Oof.
All of a sudden, people, they don't know that. They just
yeah.
think you're driving like a motherfucker. And they're like, what a motherfucker. Fuck this guy. They're beeping at you. They're pissed off. They don't know that you're like, shit, you don't understand. It was faster to put him in the mm-hmm. car and get to the fucking hospital than it was to call the ambulance. He's probably going to be okay. But God damn it, we got to get him there. And I don't know any way to like communicate that to you other than beeping at you because you're going too fucking slow. And
right.
then that person wants to get revenge, not even knowing. That they're trying to get revenge on like parents who are trying to get their kid to a fucking hospital. They think you're just an asshole driver.
The irony is it sucks. I think a lot of people, if they were to know that, they would be like, oh my God, let me help you.
They would get out of the way. They would escort
you.
They would help you.
They would love to help you.
Exactly. Exactly. That's humanity, really. Yeah. But
people love helping people.
Love helping.
There's
they
this. I may
helping.
Have told you this before, but Trevor Moore, our deceased friend, wonderful person, very very smart guy.
Yeah.
He had this great trick. He told me years ago: is if you ever get pulled over by the cops, ask them for help, because
wow.
it flips something in their brain. Where instead of becoming like, oh, I have to give this person a ticket, you'd be like, oh, thank you so much. I'm so lost. I'm trying to find. This
right.
road, I can't, I don't know. And it does something, because all humans,
right.
I mean, pretty much all humans, they want to help people. You
That's
help
generally
people.
Why people become cops.
Yeah, they do, because they want to help people, and they get stuck, and they get mired down in all kinds of bullshit, and God knows. I mean, who knows what kinds of stuff you have to look at every day that's terrible, and just all kinds of shit. But if you want to help people, yeah, everyone wants to help people if they can. So it makes
I mean, if you're going to make a great monster, the best monsters in movies are the ones that think they're being helpful. You know, like that's the
right.
instead of creating like a singularly evil thing, you make it make sense why the thing is doing its horrible thing. And now all of a mm-hmm. sudden it's like now it's a great monster because you can kind of understand like, oh, Jesus, like I get it. Like it's horrible what you're doing, but oh, fuck. That's a good monster. Like when you just make that one, like, you know.
The one you can kind of sympathize with in a way because you see its point of view.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's the big thing.
Exactly.
See this, if you can tell the point of view of the antagonist, then that's really makes a good antagonist.
Yes, it does. Yeah. It's like a perfect fucking monster. That's the terrible thing is like all the monsters in the world, the most horrendous people on earth. Minus the sociopaths and serial killers, they
yeah.
thought they were helping. They thought they were fucking doing the best they could, and they really wanted to help. They just people don't understand. People don't realize the threat that's coming. I have no choice but to do this.
Like Dahmer.
Dahmer was a sociopath, so I think he was just like, I want to, I want to be closer to the men who will reject me, and I scatter them in my yard because I just wanted to be close to them.
But his brain was broken. He had like a legitimate. His brain was fried.
Well, that you could just before you judge fucking Jeffrey Dahmer, it wasn't all bad. He was actually a really great artist.
Great guy.
If you like look at your own like whenever I look at my like whenever I've been aggressive. The immediate way I attempt to rationalize it, like, well, I had no choice. I had no choice. And you're always like, yeah, you did. Shut the fuck up. You had a choice. You didn't have to do that. You always tried, but you can't bear the reality of that you just for a second turned into an animal.
You know? It's all like ego protection. Like ego protection stuff is the worst. That's like, I feel like I kind of noticed that a few weeks ago. We had to do this scene. It was like the most intense scene I've ever had to do. I had to memorize so much dialogue. I've never had to memorize that much stuff. And it was all like a monologue. It was just a lot to do. And I kept thinking like, okay, I'm just going to run this over and over again. But I was really careful not to look at any kind of news stuff. I didn't want to talk to anybody who might say something kind of snide or anything. It would be even like a joke. I just didn't want to talk to anyone except people who I was really close to. Didn't want to look at any social media because I knew that any kind of little thing could get in my head and it would cause like a little bit of like a distortion or sort of like it would just create a distraction for me.
Right.
And I really need to focus. And I was thinking like, what if I just did this? This is a great how I should always be living if I can. Right. It's not like getting tangled in things that I know are going to, like you look at something, it's like they say about gambling. It's just some crazy thing I remember hearing years ago that a person who's addicted to gambling, their brain waves, some part of their brain gets lit up more when they lose than when if they win.
Oh, you told me that. It was so dark. They get addicted to losing.
Yeah, they kind of are addicted to losing. It's like a complicated thing, but essentially it's the same thing I think about if I like read like a negative comment someone's left. Like I know when I'm in a good space, I laugh at it and be like, wow, that's funny. That's really good. It's good that someone's leaving a negative comment because it means that it's reached enough people to where someone has decided they need to say something, like have some sort of bad reaction. It's a good thing. It's a really good thing, and I should be completely compassionate to that person. Someone will click on their profile and be like, oh, look, this guy has a whole other profile just for his little cat. And I get, and it makes me be like, man, I can't believe I thought about calling that guy an idiot or something. This is a person who clearly has a whole life. They definitely have empathetic. They have a love for this little creature. They've created a whole profile for this little cat. Like, what an incredible, great person. But they just had this moment where they decided to say something terrible to someone they don't know for who knows why. But they did it. And I have to be like, I have to let that go. I can't say anything because any kind of engagement will just further create the turmoil. That's like in the highest of mind. But sometimes when you're feeling low, you feel bad about yourself. You see something bad and it creates like this, I feel like a jolt of, it's like a form of nastiness. It's like, you know how there's different types of sweat. There's good sweat. Like it smells good. And there's like fear sweat, which kind of stinks.
Yeah.
Like you get a little fear sweat shoots out of your glands when I see something negative like that. And that's the kind of thing I think it's like, if you can insulate yourself from any type of having to see things that may potentially cause that type of reaction and you don't feel like you're in a place where you can handle it, that's like, that's what I would love to be in a place where I could always have that mindset where I'm always able to either avoid or deal with the thing in a way that's...
Compassion's the answer.
Compassion, right.
Because you can't, you know, I know, like, there's a point in your life where you feel insignificant and you see someone who you have like know about through the media or something.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think of them as a person even. And you certainly don't imagine they're like reading their comments or that they're going to see the stupid shit you wrote. Really the thing you're writing is more to like other people that you, like you hope you can like find other people who also dislike whatever the fucking thing is you want a team that doesn't like this thing.
Team Scrooge.
Team shit. But it's like, so the power dynamic is so fucking skewed anyway. It's like, so then no matter what you say back to that person, you're going to seem so weak anyway. Oh. That you're like fucking weakly. Like, and that's a sad thing when you like realize that when you're looking at people and you realize, oh my God, not only are they like reading their comments, which we all know is a no-no if you can help it, but very hard to avoid.
Yeah.
But now you're like going in and you're not responding. They're not even responding to the many comments of people who are like, I love your thing. They only communicate with people who hate them.
Yeah, that's terrible.
What the fuck? So you're like rewarding people who say shitty things to you and like ignoring people who are nice to you, which is terrible conditioning. I mean, my God, mm-hmm. I feel like read some fucking Pavlov. You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing? You're literally training. So anyone who's looking at that is like, oh my God, if you say something nice, he ignores you. If you call him a motherfucker, you get a reaction. It's like that asshole who threw Skittles at Harry Styles. Did you see that?
No. When was this?
Aaron showed me this. And mm-hmm. It's really crazy. Like, I guess, like, people throw shit at Harry Styles.
I would like, see. I mean, that guy is about as famous as you can get.
He's so as famous as you can get.
I hope to have stuff thrown at me.
Well, you don't say that.
I know. I'm.
Don't say that. Because some motherfucker... Yeah. In a frenzy of probably adoration for Harry Styles,
mm-hmm.
throws, you know, some kid slings Skittles at Harry Styles. One of them hits him in the fucking eye. And Uh-oh. Now he's got to wear an eye patch from a Skittle injury.
Damn.
But the what's really dark about it is the person who flung the Skittles just wanted to touch Harry Styles.
Yeah.
Couldn't touch physically Harry Styles, but had this connection in the most horrific way possible by fucking up this guy's vision. And you see him, like, these Skittles raining down on him. He's like, ah! And he, like, because one of them just zinged him right in the fucking eye.
Damn.
You know what I mean? So it's like, that's the problem is, like, you don't teach people, you have to create other avenues of connection that don't mm-hmm. involve like someone hurling shit at you verbally or physically. You know, that's the problem.
It's like if you ever have a heckler, I feel like they've always been, well, obviously they're drunk. They're almost 100% of the time they are drunk.
Always.
But they're also fans usually. It's usually someone who's like a big fan who they get drunk, they get confused. They don't know how to handle their emotions in a different setting. And they just like lose their cool, essentially, and they do thing that you can't really take that back, but it's something you're trying. Mm. You want to make a connection, and you don't know how because you're drunk.
Mm.
And that's the main thing. You're drunk, so you make a dumb choice.
Oh, my God, dude. It's such a sad moment because, you know, you're like, you love that they love you. But also, you have to, like, do a show. So, like, finding that middle road between, like, you know, compassionately but in a funny way shutting them down. It's like, you know, otherwise you seem so cruel. Because you don't want – that's what you just – you don't want to be cruel. This is why you have to be nicer to to inanimate objects. Everything's training. Right. You know, everything's training. We got to be nicer. That's it. It's so simple. But God, it's so fucking like in practice, it's really quite difficult for some people.
It's hard. I think it's a thing, but it is, like you said, it is a practice. It's a thing where you practice doing it and it starts to become really fun, I think. I don't know. I think it can be fun to do it because sometimes you just see what happens if you just are really just completely understanding of anything bad that happens. Dealing with it like it's I read a book years ago, I can't remember the name of it. It's very short, but it talks about how anything that you think bad about yourself, any kind of thoughts you have, instead of chastising yourself, you're supposed to look at it like it's a child has done this. And you wouldn't scream at a kid if, like, let's say your kid puts the wrong cream cheese on your bagel, you're not going to fucking scream at a child. You're going to say, oh, that's... Well, this is, you know, even if you can't say anything at all, like, why? Maybe just say nothing because it doesn't really matter. It's not that big of a deal at all. But definitely, if it is a big detailed. Deal. Yeah.
When a kid does something that you don't like,
mm-hmm.
there's two broad paths. One, ignore it. That's the easiest.
Mm-hmm.
this is how you will create short term, lots of like energy, or like you save energy as a parent. Long term, it's going to cost you a lot of energy down the line. You want to catch it before. Oh yeah. Because it's like, you know, first of all, you have to understand they don't understand anything. So like the concept of like, you know, we know, for example, that if you have a, like if I'm hanging out with you and I pick up, you happen to have a mid-sized dinosaur made of hardened plastic, and I pick it up and like hit you in the arm with it,
right?
You're going to be like, fuck you. What the fuck? Why'd you do that? You're going to be worried. You're probably going to be worried about me. You're like, whoa, what's going on with it, man? That's really, but when your child does that, you obviously you can't be like, what the fuck? You have to be like, this is hard. See, look, this is soft. This is hard. When we're playing, you know, when you hit me with something hard, it hurts. It hurts me. And you don't want to hurt me. And so that's why I don't want you to do that. Then if they do it again, you call the cops. You have the cops come. The new kids cops they have in Austin are fucking great. So like,
so the cops are kids.
The cops are kids. They're trained kids. Wow. And so the first time, you know, you just like explain that. Second time you call the kid cops. Kid cops show up, man. They're hardcore. They will like come right through the door. You know, they bash down the door. Sometimes it's fucking worth it. They like go into the playroom. They like, you know, have little mini tasers, which are so adorable. And then they'll like, you know, lightly tase your child. And then sort of like, you know, they have little puppies. It's a little more than a tickle. It does stop. It does like, you know, freeze up the muscles. They have adorable little trained like Rottweiler puppies. They're like, Yeah. And so then, you know, then after that, usually that fixes everything. So like, you know, I'll call the kid cops.
Then they just know not. They don't fuck around.
No, you don't want to fuck around with the kid cops. They're fucking hardcore. Actually, they're very. Though many of them aren't kids. They just like very tiny adults.
That's such a great skill. It's like, why be a jockey when you can be a kid cop?
I know. I mean, I wish I were like much. I mean, you obviously have to be very small to pull it off. But most of them are legitimate kids. Like very, and they're most of them are. Just trying to help. You know, there are a few bad apples in the mix, but you do get that one kid who just seems to be into power and stuff. But, you know, they'll like fucking like take all the kids, take the Halloween candy. You're like, no, I just, you know, I was calling you guys just because like he ate too many treats before bed. And then they confiscate all the kids' toys and Halloween candy because, you know, he broke the law and like they're allowed to like take it as evidence. It's so, but that's most of them are good.
It's just taken with them.
What?
Well, they could just take the kids with them, and they can become kid cops themselves, right? Is that a thing?
Well, that's how you get kid cop. I mean, that's like I think the fourth violation. They are allowed to take your child and train the child to become a kid cop. They wipe their memories; so they don't suffer over like missing you.
That's good.
They wipe your memory, so you don't even know you had a child. A lot of people, you could have had kids, and you just don't even know it. Like they get rid of all the pictures from your phone and stuff, and then, like, yeah, you probably had kids. Many people don't know they were parents. They like,
how would is there any way to know it all? What if I get an MRI?
Like a couple of years ago, you could go in and like find out if you had kids. Now they've gotten much better at like doing a full erase, so you just have no idea. Mm-hmm. If you're married, they'll like, you know, they'll like do a divorce.
Wow.
You won't even know you had a wife or met the person. It's like eternal whatever of the spotless whatever. It's like
Of the Eternal Sunshine Black.
Men of the Eternal Black eternal. Sunshine.
Meme of the eternal
black sunshine is that Norwegian black metal band that killed themselves by like throwing themselves into the bin of rabid squirrels, which was the most hardcore mass suicide I'm aware of in human history. But
they, you know, that's those squirrels do get eaten, and those are the best tasting squirrels I've heard.
Oh my god! When you taste the meat of a squirrel that is eaten, like a death metal or black metal musician, there is nothing like it. I'm not advocating it. It's horrible. The practice is terrible. A lot of bands that I've loved have just become squirrel food. But whoa, that is.
I mean, that's why. Let's just say I've got tickets to Norway.
Are you kidding me? You're going
to
do it?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Norway just for two nights.
Johnny, that's fucking expensive, though, man. That's not cheap meat.
Well, you know what? I just figured I got to... You only live once. All this COVID stuff has made me think about... You just got to have some rabid squirrel meat once in your lifetime. You got to go to Donetsk and have that.
Oh, Donetsk. It's just such a fucking beautiful city. Well, less is more. That's their saying, but my God... When you taste that squirrel meat, you want more. You don't want less. It's just flavorful, I guess is the best way to put
it. It's like pork, really.
Come on. Don't say that almost in Donetsk.
Oh, I would never say. I'm saying it now, so I don't have to say it then.
I'll delete it.
I'm getting it out.
Aaron,
I know
you're like,
supposed to say
reverse when he said that, or just put a little bleep over it, because fuck, dude, you don't like if they even heard this. You're going to get your visa revoked.
I'll probably be crying. They say if you don't cry, then you have to stay there. You stay until you cry.
Which is not the worst. I mean, it's honestly, like, that's what's funny about it is everyone wants to stay in Donetsk, so they try not to cry.
Right, but they start crying. That's how it works. If you try not to cry, you cry. So if you go in thinking, like, oh, I'm going to cry, you might last a while, and you get to eat for 3 days free. I knew one guy ate for 3 days free. Just because he didn't cry.
Pratzel-tinyon.
Yeah, Pratzel-tinyon, but they found out that he had tear duct surgery, and you know where he is now, right?
Yeah, he had his tear ducts removed.
Yeah, he is squirrel food now, buddy.
Are you fucking kidding? Mm-hmm. He offered himself?
No, he didn't get an option.
Oh, right. It's different over there. You know what? Don't go to Donetsk with your, like, whatever your particular, like, the cultural norms of where you come from, because they don't give a fuck. If you're polite, if you weep, if you don't say what you just fucking said, Aaron, definitely take that out, please. If you don't say what you just said, you will have a great time. But yeah, don't go over there, like, thinking you're going to trying to trick them with a tear duct removal scam. Well,
they've started implementing a tear test. You have to pay for it yourself, but you have to do a tear test.
Good.
Mm-hmm. I think it's great. It makes me feel better knowing. I wouldn't want to go in there. Let's say I had an emotional detachment and I couldn't cry. Then I wouldn't want to go in there.
Right.
Because I wouldn't. The whole idea is I want to cry. So why would I?
You're going to cry. I don't care how hardened you may be. When you taste a Donetsk squirrel, you're going to be crying. You need some. You know, actually, Kleenex is like they just moved like they're in an entire facility to Donetsk. It's kind of awesome.
That's so cute. I love when they do stuff like that. Where it's like, hey, I wonder why we're needed here, but we're going to go over here.
Like, I know. Wink, wink. Wink, wink. Yeah. Kleenex is always nearby in Donetsk. By the way, if you are interested in taking a trip to Donetsk, Johnny is. So when are you leading the Donetsk culinary expedition, as you call it?
November 1st, 2023. It's going to be me, Simon Pegg.
Wow.
And Rachel Brosnahan from Miss Maisel. We're doing it together. It's going to be Amazon Prime special.
How many slots do you have?
I don't know. It's filling up. I'm not really sure, but it's. I think booking hasn't opened yet. It opens on Black Friday.
Okay, so friends, if you want to go to Donetsk, eat some of that incredible squirrel flesh, weep with Johnny, weep
Simon
with Peg,
Rachel Brosnahan,
weep with Brosnahan, and like you do a lot of other stuff there too, don't you? Also, like, do stand up or something after the meals, or do you guys do some kind of show?
Well, Rachel Brosnahan is going to do a Miss Maisel set.
Awesome.
And Simon Pegg is going to be reprising his role from Hot Fuzz.
Oh, my God.
And I'm going to be doing a piece from this new Amazon Prime show I'm working on right now, monologue with that.
Is that the name of the show, monologue?
No, it's not, the name of the show is unnamed right now. But, you'll know when you know.
Johnny, thank you so much for coming on the show. Aside from the Donetsk trip, where can people find you?
You can just Google me, or you can listen to my podcast, Live to Tape. You can check out this other podcast that we it comes out sometimes called The Leather Rose.
Oh, yeah.
Check that out, yeah.
Check out The Leather Rose. You can find a clip on YouTube pretty soon. Thank you so much, Johnny. You're the best.
Instagram.
Safe travels. All the links you need to find Johnny will be at DuncanTrussell.com. Thanks, Johnny. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Bye.
That was Johnny Pemberton, everybody. Subscribe to his Twitch channel. It's at Johnny Pemberton. Subscribe to The Leather Rose and go see him live wherever he might be. A big thank you to our sponsors. And thank you for listening. I'll see you next week.
It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/trygreenlight. That's greenlight.com/trygreenlight.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.